Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our final segment here on Circles of Change. Boy, have we been on a roll. For those of you parents, and then for my generation as well, one of my favorite books as a kid was Harold and the Purple Crayon. The idea, this little metaphor, this young little being that drew with a crayon and it opened new parts of his life. And I open with that metaphor because indeed I have on the line Suzanne Goldstein, who just wrote a book called Carry a Paintbrush, How to Be the Artistic Director of Your Own Career. So welcome on the show, Suzanne.
Thank you so much, Zara. It's a pleasure to be here.
Indeed. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Suzanne is a master storyteller, practical wisdom problem solver, and self-made businesswoman. Her unique tell-it-like-it-is style with a little tough love and a lot of technique sets the stage for her spot-on advice to shine in the new book we're going to feature here today. Academically trained as a mechanical engineer, yes, indeed, another one here on the line, plus a theater and film studies undergraduate, Suzanne's career journey has taken her from screenwriting and film production in Hollywood to being a consultant to over 50 organizations during these last 20 years, including software internet businesses in Silicon Valley, to providing social media strategy help returning U.S. Marine Corps veterans. Suzanne is known as the accelerator, with a keen ability to quickly understand complex challenges, crystallize concrete and effective concepts and plans, and then accelerate their execution within her clients. She's also a contributing writer to AOL Jobs, the Huffington Post, and Business Insider, and has taught interactive product design at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, as well as leadership for social entrepreneurs at the Harvard Kennedy School, from which she earned a master's degree in public administration. So being bi-coastal between Boston and San Francisco, she still finds time also to sit on several nonprofit boards, allowing her social venture passion to really shine. Well, again, April was the date that you gave birth to this child of yours, your new book. How's it going so far?
Oh, thanks for asking. It's been phenomenal. You're absolutely right. It was definitely like giving birth. And, you know, every day I'm trying to coax this little baby into being a toddler.
That's right. And I doubt it's going to go into the terrible twos. I think it's going to jump to teen years really fast for you, Suzanne.
Thank you so much.
Well, I know when we first had a chance to get to know another this week, I asked you the question of, so how'd you come to write a book? Why now? And share a bit of the process before we delve into the content.
Well, sure. You know, I started the beginning of my career working in the arts. I worked in professional theater, and then I worked in the film industry as starting off as an assistant and worked my way up to being a producer and a screenwriter. And I've always had a passion for writing, but my path took me in a variety of different directions where writing was a part of it, but not the whole thing. And as I have gone through my career, I've had 9 or 10 different shifts in ways I've been working. And along that journey, I found myself working with a lot of different software companies, designing and building and doing the strategy around these big web-based online applications. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, last fall I had a client that I didn't see eye to eye with, and that doesn't happen very often with me. And we decided to part ways, and the next day I decided to write this book that had been so inside me, because I've been helping people figure out where they wanted to go with their careers as they've watched me figure out where I wanted to go with my career. So that's how the book came about.
Well, and I think our listeners are certainly going to appreciate that this isn't just a random act of things. You've got some very refined, pragmatic tips and tricks and techniques, and probably most importantly, headsets that people can guide themselves forward, right? Tell us, for example, your intersecting model about the sweet spot.
Absolutely. So you're absolutely right. The book is about technique. And I think that as a trained engineer, I don't think I realized that what I was doing was applying a lot of techniques that I had learned through engineering school, everything from if-then statements to creating frameworks and models to help you understand how you make decisions and how you move forward. And one of the most important ones that I discovered and that has been really successful working with individual clients as well as companies as well as audiences that I speak to is what I call personal career branding. And it's really understanding the place where your passions, your interests, and your skills intersect so that you can find that sweet spot. Think of a Venn diagram, three intersecting circles. And the place where they all overlap is that sweet spot where if you're working at that place, you're going to be happy, you're going to be productive, you're going to be able to contribute to the company in a successful way, and it's going to make you feel fulfilled. So,
and in fact, you're going to walk away and say, I better not let anybody know that I get paid for doing this because
exactly.
They're apt to take the opportunity away from me.
Well, those are the happiest people, the ones who cannot imagine getting paid for what they love to do.
Oh, yeah. I try to encourage
people that way.
Exactly. I for years had the opportunity to work on the Corvette program, and you're thinking, particularly a kid growing up in Indianapolis, I used to skip school and go to the racetrack, that I got paid for doing this? Oh, my word. But I think we should clarify your use of those words, passion, interests, and skills. Tell us
Absolutely.
The difference of those three.
You know, it's interesting because I often go out to students at schools and speak to, in fact, the MBA program at Babson brings me in on
there
the first
go.
Day of their program,
mm-hmm.
So I loved listening to your talk with Patty. And whenever I ask someone to list a passion, I often hear things like travel. And everybody laughs when I write up on the board that travel is actually an interest. Mm-hmm. Or they list a passion for food. And I say, yeah, actually food's an interest. What I think about as passions are the things that get you out of bed in the morning. They are the things that make you want to rise and get going with the day. Passions can be anything from helping make the world a better place, to experiencing new things, to communicating with other people or connecting with other people. Passions tend to be the things that drive us. So, for instance, my personal passion is helping people. I've grown up with this. I always said, if I'm going to be reincarnated someday, I'm going to come back as a ladder because I love helping people get up to the next rung. That's mm-hmm. what I'm about. But my passions over the years have focused, and what has happened is my interests have expanded.
Right.
So I've never really stopped doing what I'm doing, but my interests have gone from, you know, entertainment to software to the internet to social entrepreneurship to a variety of different topics, including now helping people in their careers.
Which, of course, is why also you're being a consultant. It gives you a tremendous amount of flexibility for the types of industries or types of business you can get in and help.
Absolutely. And it's great for me because I'm kind of interested in a lot of things, but the way that I can use my interest in a lot of things is by helping people move to that next place, to accelerating their ability to become successful. And so one of the ways I think about it is that when you're helping an individual figure out their career, at the end of the day, their job is to sell themselves as a product. And I help people figure out what is that product that you're putting together and how do you bring that product to market, just like I would do with a company that's trying to bring a web-based application to market.
You bet, absolutely. So we had passions, interests, and then the skills are actually the tools in your toolbox.
That's absolutely right. And so skills can be hard and soft skills, whether you're good at quantitative analysis or you're good at organizing people, and everything in between. And leadership is a great skill. The ability to diffuse difficult situations is a great skill. There are all sorts of them.
The one thing I might add, and although I think you probably put this in the passion bucket, it's not just what our focus is and what drives us, but also where our natural giftedness is, wouldn't you say? This idea that I'm inclined to be a communicator via writing, like you commented, or that I really am all about being a pioneer, that some of those are natural things that you couldn't tell to be quiet and sit off to the side if you tried, right?
Yeah,
and so the
absolutely.
Idea that you can merge them together.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting. You were talking with Patty about entrepreneurship and can entrepreneurship be taught. And I would say that the interests of entrepreneurship can probably be taught, and the skills of entrepreneurship, as Patty mentioned, can be taught. The passion for being an entrepreneur,
yeah, exactly.
The passion behind that, which is the need, the craving to create new things and to perhaps solve complex problems in a simple way, those are passions.
Yes, I would agree.
And those are the ones you can't get rid of. If someone says to you, stop being passionate about creating new things, it's just not going to work out that well for you.
And exactly, and for our leaders of people who are listening in, if you have someone that isn't then fit in a job that plays to that passion, guess what? It's going to get evoked somewhere else, perhaps in their 5 to 9 life. And what a shame that you're not capitalizing on it then. In fact, I know also in your book, your metaphor, which I use also, is this whole idea of pegs and holes.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of, gee, do we too much in our leadership development or training cause people to have to knock off the rough edges because they're a square peg so they fit in a small hole? But you turn it in the opposite direction, and that is how many of us self-select and we'll cut off our own arms so we'll fit.
That's right. You know, when people look at job listings and trying to find a job, you have to think about what's happening from that hiring manager's perspective. They're saying, we want the perfect person for this position, and we want them to have these qualities, numbers 1 through 10, and they have to be perfect. And they say that is the round hole mm-hmm. that we want a peg to fit into. And you as an individual, I call it star-shaped. You're a star-shaped peg. You've got arms and legs that stretch out as far as you want them to be. You're specialized in a variety of things. You have certain passions, certain interests, and certain skills. And if you're trying to fit your star-shaped peg into that round hole, there are things that you're going to have to, like you said, cut off an arm to fit into that job. And when you have to cut off that arm,
if
that's the arm that is your passion,
mm-hmm.
You're never going to be successful in that job.
That's right. I mentioned in the introduction, of course, that you've got a background in theater arts, and you're both, you know, the right brain, left brain side of Suzanne. The metaphor, carry a paintbrush. Tell us about that.
You know, it came from the first job I ever got when I got out of college. I wanted to work in the theater, and I wanted to be in London because that was, in my mind, the only place to be if you want to work in the theater. And the way I got the job at eventually the National Theatre of Great Britain, because I decided if I was going to go to London and I was going to work in the theater, I was only going to work in the best theater around. And the way I got that job is, honestly, I went and I introduced myself to the receptionist backstage, and I asked her if she knew anybody who'd give me a job, and she thought I was crazy. And so asked me to wait, and I did. Every day for 8 days, I went back to the lobby of the National Theatre, and I befriended the receptionist behind the desk, and I brought them tea, and I read everything I could and learned everything I could about the theater. And until on the 8th day, I call it my Hanukkah miracle, she introduced me to someone who was willing to talk to me. And it turns out that person needed someone who knew mechanical drafting and knew theater. And so I raised my hand and said, that's me. And so at that moment, I didn't realize what I had done, but later when I stopped and thought about it, I realized what I had done is I had painted a doorway. I had created an opportunity for something lucky to happen. And so the concept of carrying a paintbrush is that if everywhere you go, you carry a bucket of paint and a paintbrush with you, and when you see something interesting you want to do, something you want to engage with, someone you want to meet, you take out your bucket of paint, take out your paintbrush, and you paint a doorway. And when you open that doorway, amazing things can happen. And one of the things I encourage people to do is that opening doorways doesn't mean that you're brown nosing. Opening doors does not mean that you're manipulating situations, and it doesn't mean that you're taking advantage of other people. You're creating a door where nothing else existed. So why not paint it and walk through it and see what can happen for yourself?
Well, I think also about that metaphor also is that you're envisioning. And many
Absolutely.
Times people get hung up on the how to go get there as opposed to being very clear of what the what is.
Mm-hmm.
And in your case, I'm certain you already had picked out the first day outfit you were going to wear to that theater in London. I mean, it was already predetermined in your mind, and that these other things then could unfold in part of that. Now, you use the word luck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, many people will even say, well, I got lucky this time.
Yep.
I think we create our luck, don't you think?
I absolutely do. In fact, I believe luck is not luck. I believe luck is hard work,
yeah.
meeting opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think luck can be nudged. I think you can create certain situations to allow lucky things to happen. And that's how I like to frame it. And what I like to do is encourage people to learn the techniques, how you can nudge and encourage luck to happen. And then what you do when luck strikes, because that's the sequence, right? It's seeing the hard work that you want to do to get yourself to the place where you can create a lucky opportunity. And once you have that lucky opportunity, how do you actually make that into something more for yourself? And sometimes that's not just landing a job. Sometimes it's meeting the people who are already working in the field you want to work in, so that you can actually get to know them. And when a job opening happens, they're in contact with you already.
Exactly. It's the idea. It comes to you. In fact, that's your whole message around networking, that this isn't about speed dating and pushing your resume and your business cards. It's a whole environment of creating relationships, right, Suzanne?
Absolutely. You know, I think what happens with a lot of people is they think networking is a dirty word, and I really don't. I think networking is all about building relationships with the people that eventually you're going to be doing business with. You know, I broke into Hollywood in 6 weeks, which is a little bit unheard of. And the way I did it is through a technique I ended up developing called networking by fives. And the idea is that if you meet one in person, one person who's going to help you get into that new industry, that new career path that you want to get on, and you can get that person to invest in you because you've built a rapport with them, it's amazing what can happen. And this is what happened to me when I first got to Hollywood. I happened to run into someone randomly who sent my resume to someone at Steven Spielberg's company, Amblin Entertainment. And I met a woman there who ended up becoming my in-person. And when we became friendly, developed some kind of rapport, I had asked her for the name of five people that she might be willing to introduce me to that I could meet with for 5 minutes. And each one of these five people agreed to meet with me. And I asked them what they did for a living. I asked them, I was looking to break into the field. Can you explain what you do? And each one of them would. And the thing about people is that if you ask them to talk about themselves, they actually enjoy that. Yes, and so if you're genuinely interested in them and you're genuinely curious about what they're doing, they end up thinking you're wonderful. And that's, I think, the trick, is that you have to build relationships and build rapport. And once a person thinks you're wonderful, they want to invest in you and they want to help you. And it becomes a win-win on both sides of it. People get out of both sides of the equation.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, in fact, where a lot of people miss it. The networking is to give and take and keep score. And though this is really about winning and winning, in fact, it's almost always about giving and giving more. Your word investing, in this case, relates to being willing to put their reputation on the line and give you access to their network, right? So it's getting that twice, third, fourth time removed.
Absolutely. And so what happened with me in Hollywood is that this first round of five people, you know, all found my story interesting. They all found me to be a genuine person, an authentic person. And they decided that they were willing to invest in me. They were willing to put their reputation on the line by making an introduction. And so I asked each one of these five people if they would mind introducing me to five more people each. And so by the time I had been in Hollywood 5 weeks, I had actually met 54 people through this growing of the network. I don't know if you remember the old Fabergé organic commercial for hair shampoo, but it was like, you tell two friends and so on.
Exactly,
and so on and
right,
so on.
Right.
And that's what happened for me. And at the end of the sixth week, I got a phone call from Disney Studios saying that they were staffing up a new movie and they were looking for a director's assistant, which is exactly what I wanted to be doing. And that my resume had appeared in their pile 11 times. So 11 of the 54 people had passed on my resume for this one job.
Isn't that fabulous? But I think the other thing you're saying is that it's all done with a very genuine and generous heart. And also the amount of planning that it took and your preparedness, whether that be your academic foundation, the other quick study work that you've done, has been very, very important. Suzanne, your book now, I know you've got a very exciting offer to extend to our listeners as well. You call it the Get Americans Back to Work Contest. Tell us about that.
I don't know about you, Zara, but I've been pretty frustrated with what's been going on in terms of the jobs markets. We've had a lot of talk, or lack of talk, and then some talk in Washington about what's supposed to happen. We've heard in the business communities how frustrated companies who want to keep jobs in the U.S. are feeling because the tax policies in this country are not supportive of keeping jobs here. And the thing that I find is that people are despondent. They feel embarrassed they've been out of work for a long time. They're getting way past angry. And I thought, what little piece can I do that can help people? And so I decided to host a contest. I am taking entries now through October 3rd, where people can apply to work with me for 3 months for free career consulting, where I will help them figure out not only who they are and what they want to be through career branding, but also how do you go about doing something I call reverse engineering the job market and finding ways into companies and learning how to use networking to actually get people to invest in you. And so I'm going to be doing that, and what we're looking to do is actually either journal or audio record or video record some of the sessions so we can share it with a bigger population and have some other people learn these techniques as these three people get back to work.
And how can someone apply to your contest then?
There's two ways. They can actually go to getamericansbacktowork.net, which will send them to my website, or they can actually go directly to my website, suzannegoldstein.com.
Very good. And, you know, that's why I resonated so quickly with the nice email that I got from your book publicist to know that you're exactly the kind of person that I want to have in the circle of our Circles of Change show, because that's the nature of our work here as well. You know, it's the idea of giving, and you know, whether it be the opportunity to help someone course correct on their career or launch into something totally different is really important to do.
You know what's interesting, Zara, and this is one of the things that I find challenging, is that a lot of people are wanting to get back to work, but I'm not sure that they're willing to do the work that it takes to get back to work.
Yep.
And I've even experienced this launching this contest. You know, we've had a good flow of people entering the contest, but we've also got a lot of feedback from people saying, oh, I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah. Well, and what would that tell a potential employer? Yeah.
Exactly. And here I am willing to coach them for free. So I think that there needs to be some kind of shift that's happening in the population amongst the employed and unemployed about what does it mean to work hard these days. That, you know, we're in a tough time. When my grandpa moved to this country in 1929, right before Black Tuesday, he had to learn how to survive. And that was the only choice. And right now, we've had a fairly fluffy past couple of decades. And I think that people need to relearn survival skills. They need to learn that it's not always easy, and it's not always I'm going to be able to sit back and eat bonbons, that you have to actually, you know, the rubber has to hit the road, and you have to be ready to go, work hard, and show that you're going to do it better than anybody else who's out there trying for the same job.
And my feeling, though, is if you anchor it in that career personal branding model you talked about of having your passion, your interests, and your skills, this isn't the drudgery or the fear-based activity that people might think, but it does take, you know, some real discernment to sit there and tease out, I think, in particular, the passion piece. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. And the thing is that figuring out your passions and your interests and your skills is a really great thing for you to understand what you want to do long term. But there's a difference between the right job and the right now job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who need a right now job. And I think that it's great if you can find your right now job that aligns with your passions, interests, and skills. I think that's what we all want to go for, because it's a longer and more sustainable kind of job path. But there are also people who need to understand the right now job skills. And those include understanding how to show up on time for work. I got a bunch of emails from some hiring managers recently based on an article I wrote for AOL Jobs saying, you know, it's all great, there are jobs out there, but I can't find people to hire. They're not willing to work the hours. They're not willing to do an extra shift if I need them to. They're not willing to, you know, show up on time.
Yeah, isn't that something? Just some real fundamentals. Well, Suzanne Goldstein, thank you so very much. Again, the accelerator and also the artist. Her new book, Carry a Paintbrush, How to Be the Artistic Director of Your Own Career. And this wonderful free coaching opportunity, her contest, go to getamericasbacktowork.net, as well as visit her site, suzannegoldstein.com. Congratulations again on your book, Suzanne. We'll look forward to tracking your progress.
Zara, thanks so much for having me on.
Real pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. the Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.